I enjoy planning family trips. I love to get travel guides from the library and read about all the interesting things to see and do. I love to figure out what my family will most enjoy doing, how to even do it on a budget, how to find times to go to busy places when less people are there. That's something that we like to do, so it's not so crazy. We like to use the local form of transportation like subways and buses and mostly walking a lot, especially in a city. I like to find places that not everyone goes to but look interesting to me or to our family. And I like to get my family involved. As the kids got older, I would have them look through books that we would get and or get on the internet and find things they would like to do. Then I would add that into the trip, or we would work together to figure out how we could do all the things everybody wanted to do. 2 years ago, we went to Boston for one of Matt's work trips, and I asked the kids to do some research. They were old enough by this time to know how to find things and what they were interested in. And Lena found a fascinating place to visit. Part of it was called Dogtown. It was once a town, but was now in ruins. Parts of buildings and foundations where houses used to be. But that was not why she wanted to visit. All around this area were huge rocks, boulders, with words carved into them along a winding trail called Babson Boulder Trail. A rich man named Roger Babson decided back in the 1930s that he wanted to write a simple book with words carved in stone instead of printed paper. And that is exactly what he did. Truth, courage, you can see on those rocks. He put words on rocks and told the story he wanted to tell out in the woods near the shore of the Atlantic Ocean. Are you wondering how big these rocks and words are? Take a look at this next slide. They were pretty big. Here's intelligence. And they were all shapes and angles. Here's integrity. And some of them were really big. Here's Lincoln and Lena sitting on the keep out of debt rock. I find that interesting that that was one of the large ones. It was honestly mind-boggling how much time and effort was put into this very out-of-the-box and onto-the-rock writing project. It was worth the trip. Fascinating, unique. It was a hike. It was in nature. It was history. A mix of all of the things that I love. And my kids have mostly grown to love, depending on the day and their mood, of course. And Lena had found it. But there's a little more to this story. When we first read about this place and wanted to go, I looked up the directions to the place and I found a map. It looked relatively straightforward, other than the fact that none of the paths were straight. All of them were very windy. There were maps, there were big rocks. It seemed like that would be a pretty easy path to follow, except I started to read blogs of people who had been to this place or comments on different websites. And every single one of them said, it gets really confusing back in those woods. You have the map and there's paths, but it's really easy to get turned around. And this is when I started to get nervous. I'm okay at navigating out in the woods, but definitely not excellent at it. And this is in a state, in a place that I've never been, and I knew I would probably be a little turned around even by the time we got there. So I thought, hey, I wonder if anyone leads hikes through these woods. And sure enough, through the magic of the internet, I found one lady who lived nearby who would set up hikes for people who wanted to visit. So yeah, we could do it. We made a plan to meet our guide. The day of the hike, we pulled into a tiny parking lot, maybe about five spots for a dirt parking lot. And even the parking lot itself actually ended up being a little hard to find, so I was feeling better and better about having this guide. As we were waiting for the guide to come, a college student and his parents pulled up. They asked us some questions and told us a suspicious story about how the local college that he attended, students told him that they carved a new stone every year, and he was out there to find his year's stone. I have since discovered that clearly someone was sending him on a wild goose chase, which is a very sad thing to me. There have been no stones carved since the 1930s. So they were from New York City, big city, and they hadn't really been out in the woods much, but were determined to head off and find their way. I showed them the map that was available near the sign right there and told them they were welcome to wait and join our hike, but no, they were going to head out on their own, and off they went before we did. Our guide and her husband arrived a little bit later, and off we went. It was a great hike, but let me tell you, we twisted and turned through the woods, and when we were doing so, I knew that I had made the right choice to have a guide with us. There were times I couldn't even see where the path was. It was a little overgrown in places, and the boulders were not always in obvious places like you thought they might be. And sometimes the word was on the other side, so you might have passed right by it and not known that that was one of the boulders. Our guide, she just kept walking forward, calmly leading us to the places we need to go. She had been there so many times that she knew just where each rock was, right where the path turned, and which path to pick at every choice. Not only that, but she brought us for our break, wait for it, chocolate chip cookies. Clearly, those of you who know me know the woman was after my heart, and the little money that we paid her for the hike was worth every moment. So we sat on our use your head rock and ate chocolate chip cookies. When we stopped, I thought, yes, I did use my head and found this guide, making this an amazing trip for all of us. For me, who usually led my children, to be able to relax because I had a guide, and all of us to enjoy our time. And this last slide, we tried and we won. That rock says, never try, never win. And when we got back to the parking lot, that family I talked about earlier, their car was still there. This had been at least 2 hours now. We never once saw them or heard them on our hike. And my daughter said sometimes she still wonders if they ever made it out. Now, why am I telling you this story? Stay with me for a minute. We've been talking the last 2 weeks about the church, how Jesus is the center, how Jesus will build the church, how the church will not die because it is God's church and God's plan, how the church is God's plan for us together to follow Jesus, and he's given us keys to use together. And last week we talked about what it means to be a member of the church, members who are lifters. It's about making a commitment to being a lover of God and people, of being involved and faithful and teachable. It's moving beyond just attending to serving, to finding a part to play, a rock to hold. Last week, we even brought some rocks and carried some rocks away to remind us that when each one of us does our part, the weight is less. Today, I want to talk about being a leader. What does it take to be a leader? Well, let's go back to the story I told you at the beginning. In the very simplest of terms, a leader is a guide. As followers of Jesus, when we are willing to look back, extend a hand, and guide someone else down a step we already have walked, we're leading. We all have places, experiences, and spiritual steps we have traveled. If we're willing to help just one other person find their way through that place, experience, or step, we're leading. And any follower of Jesus can do that, because we are simply following Jesus, our guide, so we can know the way. We follow Jesus and we invite others to follow along with us. You are a leader when you look outside yourself and choose to help someone else. You're a leader when you look around and lift a weight with another person. Last week we talked about our commission. We are to go and make disciples. As followers of Jesus, that's our job, and all of us can do it. It will look different in each of us as people because we've all walked the journey a little bit differently. We know different parts of the road. We have different skills to offer. But the important thing is to offer what we have to someone else, to invite others one step closer to Jesus by being hope givers, light shiners, storytellers, to lift their weight by leading them to Jesus, by inviting others to take Jesus' yoke upon them, because Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We're going to play off our list from last week and talk more about being lifters. When we're leaders at Central, we use who we are to help lift weights with others. Now, one of my challenges for you this morning is sometimes I give you work to do at home. So I have a homework for you to do. As we go through the slides and look at the scriptures, I invite you to write down these scriptures and use them to pray through and process and learn from this week. Now, not only do we love God and love people, when you are a leader in any specific organization, like a church, you join and lead because you are like-minded in some way. You have figured out what you have in common, and you lead from that. And I've talked about already, what do we have in common here at Central? It's Jesus. Philippians 2, 1 and 2 says it this way. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in mind. When we're leaders in Central, we find the places of unity and love and serve from there. Now, I've said this before, unity is not the same as uniformity. Uniformity means that we are all exactly the same. We will not ever be that. We were not created to be exactly the same. And if I asked you to do that, then I would be leading a cult and not a church. You are not robots. You're people made in the image of God. And so we don't look exactly uniform, but we find places of unity. Especially when we lead, we need to decide what is the most important together and work from that place together. So Central leaders are like-minded lovers of God and of people. Secondly, leaders are involved initiators. Not only are you here and participating in serving, leaders are people who look around them and see a need that another person has and ask God and themselves, do I have something I can offer to meet that need? Is there a way I can walk beside that person which will help to carry their load? It's good to help because a pastor or another leader asks you to help. But a leader is someone who has the eyes to see what needs to be done, even when someone hasn't asked them, and begins looking for a way to do it. A leader sees what other leaders have been doing and what other leaders have been teaching and says, how can I put that into practice in my life? With the skills and resources I have, how can I do that? Philippians 4:9, Paul is writing to the church that he started, and he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Galatians 5:25 says, let's keep in step with the Spirit. I love the imagery of that. In many ways, it could be on a hike, right, that we had to keep in step with our guide and follow them. I remember another hike my family and I took kind of in a mountain area in New Hampshire. I think it was a different Boston trip, and then we were in New Hampshire. And it was actually pouring down rain on the day that this hike was scheduled, but it was the only time that Matt could do it with us and that there was a guide scheduled, and I was not going to try to go and find this place alone. And it was to a waterfall, which has a special place in my heart. I like to find waterfalls. So we hiked to a waterfall in the rain. But as we were going, every once in a while, the guide would turn around and say, hey, this is what's coming next, and be careful and watch your step. Just follow me. Just keep in step with me. Leaders keep in step with the Spirit. That we stay so close to Jesus that these things start happening, that you see something and you kind of know, I could probably do something about this right now. You keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ, simply by carrying each other's burdens. And Galatians 6:9 and 10 says, let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Central leaders are simply involved initiators. We look around to see what needs there are and look for ways to meet those needs. Third, leaders are faithful finishers. Philippians 3:14 says, we press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We keep straining toward what is ahead. We don't stop halfway. We don't stop when it gets hard or boring. We may sit down and rethink a different way, but we stay the course, trying to determine what our next step is and then following through on that next step. We finish what we start. This has been a harder one for me over the years. I like new ideas, and it's easier for me to do a new idea and then jump to the next new idea. But over time and through many life lessons, I've learned that someone and I just this week were having a conversation that often people tend to give up at about two steps before the breakthrough is going to happen. We do that all the time, don't we? It just gets hard, and then we stop. And if we would just continue, we would make it to the next thing. So leaders are faithful finishers who know, if God has led me this far, he'll help me get through till I finish. Jesus taught in Luke 14 that if we wanted to follow him, we needed to sit down and count the cost. Before we start, we sit and think about all it might require of us and if we're willing to pay that price. This can be hard for many of us who like the new and good ideas. But when we don't finish well, we're not serving ourselves or anyone else well. Central leaders start and finish well. We are faithful finishers. And lastly, leaders are teachable teachers. When we have learned something, we don't keep it to ourselves. We don't hoard up our knowledge or our resources. We share them freely. We want others to know what we have learned, and we're willing to teach it. This fits beautifully with our guide story at the beginning. The thing is that even those of you who think you have nothing to offer, well, I'm pretty sure you do have something to offer. What have you learned? What have you learned from your successes and your failures? How might that help someone else? Some of the best conversations I've had with people that have encouraged them the most are when I have shared my failures and said, this is what I learned from it. So we all have stories of places we've gone and succeeded and those where we have failed, but ways we have learned, ways that God has shown up in that, and we can share that story. When I thought that I was at my darkest place, God showed up. We all have something to teach another. What do you know how to do? Who else might need to know how to do that? Will you teach them what you know? When you teach another person, then they can turn around and teach another person. I've seen that so often, and it's beautiful. My daughter recently said, Mom, one of my friends was going through a crisis, and all of a sudden I heard myself telling her all the things you tell me when I'm getting really dark, into a dark place. And I thought, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, right? And I thought, and why do I tell these things to my daughter? Because my mother has told them to me. My father has told them to me. Someone else, a mentor, has told them to me. And now we pass them along. I've also seen this in the refugee community, that often Beth or I might teach a skill to one family, and then we find out that that family has now gone to the next house and taught them what to do. And so then it gets passed along, and the weight is not all on one person, one pastor, one leader. We all play our part, and it multiplies instead of adds, right? Because each of those people, if they then tell one other person, do you see the tree that starts to happen and the multiplying? We need guides and teachers who simply share what they know. So central leaders are teachable teachers. Roger Babson had an interesting idea, writing a book on rocks. But let's face it, it really wasn't a very good idea. Not a lot of people read that book any longer. You have to have a guide to go even find it. Jesus had a different idea. He wrote his story into people. He builds his church on the rock of people. And he has given us keys to keep building his church, to keep living his story, to keep telling his story. He's given us a community of people to do it with. He's given us this commission, this job to make disciples. He's given us our context, Lansing, Michigan, right here. And he has given us power, spiritual power. He says at the end of his great commission, and I will be with you even to the end of the age. He's calling all of us to be lifters, to lift the weight of others, to be guides, to help others find the paths that we have found for following Jesus. And he's promised to live in us, giving us everything we need to do what he has asked us to do. Next week, as we close this sermon series on the church, we're going to talk more about that power, the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This week, I want to close by reading again our mission and vision here at Central. At the 11 o'clock service, we'll read it in English and Swahili for all of our church members. But this morning, we'll just read it in English here. So would you read it with me? At Central, we are loving God, loving others, and following Jesus together. We are one people living one story, one step at a time. We also invite others one step closer to Jesus by being hope givers, light shiners, and storytellers. It's a beautiful vision and mission. Would you pray with me?